Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, warm welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. The team this week is Bruce Millington, Joe Champion and Ian Wilkerson. And we're looking ahead to the final event before the first major of the year. It's the Valerio Texas Open. There's nothing going on in Europe. We do have the first ladies major of the year, so the lads have got a tip for that as well. And obviously with the Masters just a week away, we will have a little early look at who the boys are leaning towards. First of all though, let's have a quick look back on what happened last weekend. We had three tournaments, the match play in which the sponsors got the winner they wanted, Kevin Kisner. Graham McDowell came back to form in Punta Cana, that was a good win. And Stephen Gallagher, another old timer, coming back to form with a 125-1 victory in the Hero Indian Open. Joe, does that match play do it for you? It didn't really do. I mean, it's good if you get the decent names, but I must admit, I disengaged after the weekend.
Yeah, I suppose the casual fans aren't going to be too interested in watching Kevin Kisner versus Matt Kuchar. It's not really a fireworks final, is it? Yeah, I think they should do without the group stage, to be honest. I know
that's
the sponsors, isn't it? They're saying they want a whole day and a half of Tiger Woods playing, and if you know they don't want half of him on the morning, that's the problem with that. But yeah, straight knockout's the way to go with match play, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's a match play situation. The commentators always, Wilco, in a stroke play event on TV, they always loved to say, oh, it's like a match play situation, yeah, now, isn't it? But they never say it's like a stroke match play situation. I was listening out for it. So it really isn't great. I mean, I know that sport's all about sort of trying to do stuff different and get a new audience, Wilco, but I mean, to me, I just like four rounds. I like the
yeah, you
I
just
like
get suited to it, don't you? You get used to, you know, how your golf tournaments go. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of concoctions. The European Tour have been coming up to sort of like try and find the 2020 of golf, with sixes, holes and knockouts and all that sort of thing. I think that goes too far. That really trivialises it. Obviously, you know, we talk about match play and then we're all, you know, talk about Ryder Cups and things like that. That gives it a little bit of a dimension. But from a betting perspective, it never really rocks my boat, really.
No, 80-1 Kisner was. Well done if you got him. I suppose the only slight excitement on the whole, it was Kuchar having a latest spat with Sergio. So Kuchar, I always had down as this really mild-mannered, pleasant bloke. I thought, wow, but if you met him, you'd think, what a lovely fella. But then he's been in the news, hasn't he, this year? First he welched on his caddy, didn't he, in Mexico, and then he's had a big tear up with Garcia for not conceding a putt. I must admit, I'm slightly with Kuchar on that one. Where do you stand on that one?
It's hard to know really without actually being there, but you know, I think neither of them are particularly in the right. Kuchar should have just left it, I think.
And well, Garcia went straight up and started trying to backhand it in, didn't he? I mean, he didn't really have
for
time,
a sport. For a sport, I mean, I've got friends who are sort of like club professionals, and to qualify, they have a book like a 1980s Yellow Pages to go through with the rules of golf, and then it's just accepted that, oh yeah, you can have it, mate. It's like at Anfield on Sunday, oh, Sissoko, you're through on goal, mate. Yeah, we'll give you the goal
exactly
for that one.
Mm. Exactly, I think don't get that at all.
It doesn't happen if you concentrate and you play properly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's the other thing with golf, of course, isn't it? They've got this enormous rule because you say Wilco, but then the moment, you know, a ball lands near a tulip stem or something, they're straight over getting the rules official, aren't they?
And of course, that flies, you know, that's ammunition for, I know you've got a big bugbear about slow play and watching it on the TV, you know, that just accentuates all that, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Is there a player we should take out? Is there anyone who did their Masters chances no harm, or someone maybe from Europe you think might be coming into play?
It's obvious, but I think you can take the winner out of this. I mean, Kevin Kisner, I think if he gets into those sort of situations, he's shown that he's tough and he can do this now. You know, he's contended in major championships before, and you know, if he was a bit longer, you'd think of him as a real chance at Augusta next week. To be honest, he could still get in the mix. I mean, shorter players have won around there before, and he's a player I really like. And yeah, I expect to see
him. He's got a winning mentality, hasn't he?
He has indeed.
That's what you need, isn't it? I mean, I remember for years, you know, back end of the last century and first part of this. So I used to back David Toms because at least you knew he could get the job done. You know, it's these guys who just melt away like Charles Howell III you want to avoid. But Kisner looks like he likes getting in there, doesn't he, and doing it. Wilco, who's your player to follow?
Well, this time last week I recommended Oosthuizen to go well, and he got a place for those who backed with the firms that offered the
eight places.
Eight places.
Yeah.
lost to Kisner, threw it away. He was winning on the 16th tee, and then it all went pears in the last two holes. 33 birdies he hit last week. And,
he's in a bit of form, isn't he?
He is hitting a bit of form, and, you know, he lost to... He finished second at Augusta in 2012, and I think he could go well at a big price, so I like him. Beauregard, Lucas Beauregard, who it'd have been a massive tonic to have beaten Tiger Woods in his game. He heads to Augusta for his first go. We know the stats. Fuzzy Zeller, 1979 was the last time somebody won on their debut at Augusta. But he's a big hitter and should be suited. So I'd be looking at him perhaps in the top debutante markets and things like that. So they'd be my two pointers, really, looking ahead to next week.
Let's look ahead to before Augusta, the Valero Texas Open taking place at Santa Anita in Texas. Last year, it was quite an easy one to pick the winner of. Andrew Landry won it at 200. Sean O'Hare was second at 150s. And Trey Mullinax was third at what we've got as 159-1. Now, I know that 188-bet have gone, aren't trading anymore, but I'm not having that. That can't be right. Can 159-1? Anyway, the year before that, Kevin Chappell won at 33s. And before that, Charlie Hoffman won at 28s. So I do hope he was the first-round leader. That would have done my head in if he... Because we always back him for first-round leader.
That's a higher win, hopefully, yeah.
It would have been terrible, that, wouldn't it, if he'd won that without being the first-round leader. Anyway, to give you a flavour of the type of field we've got, these are the current best prices. Shop around, as always, for best prices and, more important, equally importantly, best each-way terms. 10-1, Ricky Fowler. 16-1, Finau and Kuchar. 20-1, Spieth, who I wouldn't be backing at 200-1, given he cannot play at the moment. 25 Horschel, 28 Sunjay Im and Jason Kokrak, 30-1 Jim Furyk, and 33-1 Barr. Wilco, who's your main fancy?
I like Aaron Baddeley this week. I mean, it's not a particularly... the field has suffered by the fact that this tournament's been moved forward 3 weeks. So because it comes in between the match play and Augusta, you know, a lot of the big names have given it a swerve. So it's... It would not surprise me if somebody from sort of like a middle of the pack could come through and do particularly well. Baddeley, he was 16th in the world a few years ago, but he's dropped right down to 187th. But he's finding a bit of form. He claimed in the Dominican Republic at the Corrales last week, he got his third top 10 finish of the season. He struggled a little bit to get the job done in the end. He's been, like you're talking about, how one of those Sunday players who can't quite get over the line, finished seventh, four shots behind McDowell. It was a similar story when he was runner-up in Puerto Rico in February as well. But he's coming into a bit of form. He's got some decent a decent record here. He's had top five finishes 2 years ago and in 2010. And six top 30s in seven visits. So although this is a course where... power can prove to be a massive asset. It's a long old track. There's sort of 600 yard par fives, which are proper free shots. You know, it's going to be none of your Dustin Johnson driving and then hitting an eight iron, you know, into a par five green. They're proper tests, long par threes as well, all over 200 yards. But I think if he's got the course form, good on the greens. His game seems to be in decent nick, and I think he could go well at about 50-1.
I always think those courses that have got really long par fives actually favour the shorter hitters, because the power hitters can't get there in two, can they?
Yes, I would agree.
So if they're three shot holes, then that actually brings
it's
the shorter
about,
guys.
You know, although greens and regulation have been a big thing here, so like the ability to find the greens in the requisite number of shots rather than. Of the three things that we point out, the power, the accuracy and the touch or putting on our inner paper, the skills that we attribute to the players, I always think that the power is perhaps the least important, because they all tend to hit it about 300 yards.
They do indeed, yeah. Sickening. Joe Champion, who's your main fancy?
We should mention, of course, the winner will get a spot in the Masters next week.
Okay.
And for that reason, I've gone for Jim Furyk, who... narrowly missed out. If he'd
Does
have
he
won,
need it? Surely Furyk gets in the Masters.
No, he doesn't get in.
Doesn't he?
No, well, his US Open win was a long time ago, wasn't it? And
I don't know. I just sort of thought, you know, he's
52nd in the world. I mean, he didn't a lot last year due to the Ryder Cup. And
okay.
So, but yeah, he's been brilliant.
He needs it.
Yeah, he's been brilliant at the start of the year. If he'd have won his match the other day against Henrik Stenson, he would have qualified, but he's just missed out.
That was the group of death, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
He was in there, wasn't he?
He played very well. He beat Jason Day and he beat Lefty. And then Stenson was red hot in that match, and there was nothing really Furyk could do to stop him. But
he's another one who knows how to get it done, isn't he?
Exactly.
Jolly Jim.
Yeah, if he's in contention, you know you're going to get a run for your money there. And, you know, last time out before the match play was at the Players, where, you know, he really gave McIlroy a scare, and McIlroy had to find his best golf on that back nine, didn't he?
Mm.
And that shot he hit into 18 as well was absolute, that took balls, didn't it? Hitting that
I've got to say, it was Cheltenham that week. I got home from Cheltenham just about 2 days. I didn't really see a lot of it, but I'll take your word for it.
Oh, yeah, within about 3 foot, and that gave him the lead. But, yeah, and he goes well on a tough track like this. You know, you can expect him to do well. And as I say, he was, as he was Ryder Cup captain last year, his form dropped off, but, you know, he's really rediscovered it since, as well as the Players. He was top 10 at Mayakoba and top 10 at the Honda as well.
Okay.
Tied third here in 2013 and sixth in 2014 as well.
God, you're both making very persuasive cases.
So that flies
cases.
In the face of the talking about the power hitters not being able to do particularly well on this course. The weather could be a big factor this week. It can be. If it gets windy, then it becomes particularly troublesome.
Okay.
And in the past, it has become a big problem, you know, for players to manage. It wasn't windy last year. Consequently, Landry tore it up. He broke the course record by 3 shots. Over the 4 days,
so you can miss it.
Yeah, and Mullinax, he hit 62. That broke the course record for 18 holes as well. So it shouldn't be. Perhaps power won't be that much of a factor this week because the winds are not anticipated to be that bad, and it's been quite dry in Texas over the last few weeks.
Okay, right. So who else are you putting out then, Wilco?
The one at the top of the list that I like is Billy Horschel. A solid competitor in these sort of events. He likes it here too. He's had 3 top 4 finishes. And he was 11th last year. He's a solid greens to regulation player. And he's not missed a cut in his last 18 outings. So you really should get a run for him. Second in the Tour Championship, which was enough to book his place at Augusta. I think he could head there in fine fettle. And I'm not mad about the chances about the four above him in the betting, really. Fowler is making his course debut. And didn't play in the match play last week. Perhaps he's just sort of like, trying to have a run. Well, it's a bit of a mystery, but then he
likes to play the week before a major, so he didn't want to do 3 in a row.
Yeah, right. And Kuchar, we've talked about, you know, that's an exhausting week. That's a lot of golf to play if you get to the final of the...
Yeah, 6 rounds.
Yeah, the match play, you know, that he'll be... Spieth, if this wasn't in Texas, I don't think there's any way he'd be in his home state.
Spieth's playing terrible, isn't he? Just suddenly come back to form, can't they? But, I mean, I couldn't bet Spieth at that price in a million years. And Finau, the other one who's up there, he just never seems to win, does he?
Yeah, and he's not playing as well as he was sort of last year either.
So Badly, Horschel, and who, Wilco?
Former US Open champion Lucas Glover is doing a particularly... he's playing how he speaks. He had some well-documented domestic problems, but...
Did he what?
Well, he had... his wife was reported to the police threatening him, saying that, if you don't win soon, I'm going to leave you and all this. Yeah, it was pretty serious stuff. And but he was second in the Web.com Tour Championship, the secondary event in September. And since then, he's been flying. He's had 9 out of 11 tournaments. He's finished in the top 20. He missed the cut at Sawgrass, but then he bounced back and was 13th at the Valspar. So he's been challenging for events, and it looks like, you know, this is the sort of field where he could make a big impression. He's missed the cut on his only previous visit, which was 2015, but he ticks plenty of other boxes. He's ranked 10th in greens in regulation and 17th in strokes gained off the tee. The quality of his approach play and his driving has really sort of like means that he should go well here.
Jolly good. Okay. Who else have you got for us, John?
I've got 3 more. One of them is Abraham Ansah.
Uh-huh.
He's a Mexican, but he's born in Texas, so ties to the state. And he's been in good form as well. Finished 12th for the Players, and there's another who won 2 out of his 3 matches at the match play last week. He ranks 23rd in strokes gained off the tee, which is a key stat round here because it's important to find the fairways.
Okay.
And he's made a cut in both attempts at the Texas Open in his career, and he's a better golfer now than he was last year.
Go on then. Who else?
Next one is JT Poston, who's a guy who's...
Blimey.
Been,
never had JT Poston tipped on the postcard.
He's been consistent without really contending, but he's sort of grinding out top 30s all season. He missed the cut at the Valspar, but Kopfev's a tough track, and he didn't miss it by far anyway, so I'm not too bothered about that.
If I showed you a picture of JT Poston, would you know who he looked like?
Probably not. I could probably take
I wouldn't recognise him in Sainsbury's.
One of these identical American golfers that all look exactly the same. Yeah, he finished 27th on his debut a couple of years ago and 30th last year, where he was in the mix and he shot a final round 76 to ruin it. But, you know, he's one of these golfers I'm keeping an eye on because he will pop up somewhere. I think he finished 7th at the Genesis as well, which is the best finish. But,
okay.
And the other one is Luke Donald at 80-1.
Oh, yeah, Luke Donald was back in form a couple of weeks ago, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was back. That was at the Valspar, you know, another tough track. And, you know, this is a guy who, it's almost easy to forget how good Luke Donald was, his former world number one. And, you know, just because he never won a major doesn't mean that he's not a top player. And he says that he's playing without pain for the first time in a while, which is great to hear. And, you know, he's finished tied 13th here in 2016 when he wasn't in particularly good form anyway.
Right.
So, you know, I think maybe seeing Gallagher and McDowell play well last week.
Might by those comeback by them. Guys. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. 80-1 Luke Donald, that makes a lot of sense. Right, okay, lads. So we've got Wilco's gone for Badly Horschel and Glover, and the champ has gone for Furyk, JT Poston, Lucas Glover.
Luke Donald.
And Luke Donald.
And Anser.
Oh, sorry, Anser. Glover was Wilco. Yeah. Hopefully that makes sense. Right, lads, anything else we need to discuss on this one? Any tops or any match?
I don't think so, no. It's quite a tricky one when you consider that a lot of the top, the different motivations of different players, people who just want to run out for Augusta and people.
Sure. All right, let's move on to the women's major. It's the ANA Inspiration. Quick rundown of the front runners. 10-1 is Sung Hwan Park. 10-1 Jin Young Ko. 14 Nelly Korda. 16 Imbi Park. 18 Arya Jatanwagan. And 20-1 Bar. Who's your fancy, Joe?
I fancy Nelly Korda in this. She's a player who really hit form in the second half of last season. She won in Taiwan, I think it was, and Thailand, one of them, and then finished second to Lexi Thompson in the Tour Championship at the end of the season. She started this year in great form, won the Australian Open, and has LPGA form figures of third, first, seventh, tenth, and second. She played here last year, tied 13th, and that came between two missed cuts, so she wasn't playing as well. She's really informed. She's up there in the top five in the world, which is why she's the price she is. But
where is it? Where is this tournament?
It's in California. Yeah. California.
So we need to get our bets on by midday Thursday, do we?
Yeah.
Probably. A little bit later than that.
Yeah. Yeah, Nelly Korda, you know, I find it hard to see her outside the top 10 at least.
Okay, mate. Wilco?
Well, we had a bit of a shock in this last year when Pernilla Lindberg won at 500-1.
Wow.
I'd be fancying the person who was just behind her on there, Imbi Park, who looks a solid challenger. She was runner up last year.
Yeah, and in a playoff.
Yeah.
An eight hole playoff.
Wow. Last year. That was one for to keep a track on and stay in touch with for that one. And she was just out of the playoff the year before. She's in decent nick. She tied for second in last week's Kia Classic. She's 30 now, but it's 10 years since she's won the US Women's Open, and she's been a solid contender ever since, really. Won this in 2013. She's 16-1.
Okay, excellent. Right then, before we go, quick spin through the Masters' latest betting. 7-1 Rory, blimey, that's short. 10-1 Dustin Johnson, 14 Tiger and Justin Rose, 18-1 Thomas and Rahm, 22 Fowler, 25 Spieth, 25 Molinari, and 28 Barr. Steve's already beavering away, which is why he cannot even spare the time to do this week's podcast, but he's back next week to give us his views. Lads, if you had to have a bet now on the Masters, who would you be going for?
John Rahm, I think. I've just had it in mind for him all season, really. I just think the course is perfect. He's contended there before, and he's just absolute class when he's in contention usually.
I just got this thing about him. I just think he's too hot-headed.
I think it's overblown a bit.
Boil over.
I just don't think it's that big an issue.
Don't you?
No, I think he's maturing as he goes on.
You may be right. And once
Tiger,
I get one over
in the Ryder Cup as well, didn't he? So,
yeah. Okay. And he's had a couple of spins now, hasn't he? So he's got that bit of course experience and was tied for fourth.
I just think it's a perfect fit for him as well.
Yeah. It's a great Masters this year, isn't it? Because there's so many great players all in form, isn't
it? I can't really have Rory at the price.
So I have Rory back there. He's fantastic, isn't it? But I mean, it's 7-1. Yeah. No,
I think you've got to the stage now where there's sort of like 10 or 12 outstanding players And for these majors, one of them's going to turn up.
Yeah.
And they're going to win.
Yeah.
I like Joe, I like Rahm, but I talked about Ushazen. I think he's got a really good chance. I think he's about double carpet 33, around that sort of mark. I really think he could go well. We've started to see the competition among bookies. Coral went 10 places this week. So it will pay to hold back and wait and see what sort of offers are going to come out. But
falling over themselves.
I really like him.
Like you say, when was the last time there was a genuine shock in the majors?
In the majors?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just
hasn't been a massive for a long while.
We haven't had what's he called? Thingy Hamilton or Ben Curtis.
Yeah. Immelman.
We could be due one, but I mean, it's going to be so hard, isn't it?
I think the winner will be sort of like 33-1 or shorter. I can't see it being.
I'm going to focus on top senior. Freddie Couples v Bernard Langer. Brilliant.
What about Vijay?
And Vijay's in there as well. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, next year it'll be, 2 years. Mickelson will be over 50.
Mickelson will, yeah.
And then he'll start to
have a really interesting market.
Okay, so like I say, next Wednesday back here for the Masters postcast, Steve Palmer and the gang. Don't miss that. In the meantime, we've got football on Thursday. We've got entry postcasts every day this week, including obviously Saturday's great race, the Grand National. Can Tiger Roll do it? It could be a week of Tiger Mania, Tiger Roll in the Grand National on Saturday. Tiger Woods in the Masters next week. Join us for loads more fantastic postcasts.
Give them the whole.